that mountain. And there's some mountains we're going to be talking about today, and specifically tonight, some mountains we're looking to conquer in our Christian life. And as a church is concerned, God's got some plans for us, and we're going to focus on that this morning. We'll try to help you with some truths that we can apply to our lives. I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm always excited at a new year. A new year brings new opportunities. It brings a new vision. It brings some freshness. It brings a lot of excitement. I know, again, the new year always starts right smack in the middle of wintertime, and it can be a little bit gloomy. It can be a little bit dark. But understand the new beginnings and the new possibilities and the new opportunities that God gives us with each and every day of life, and also with the new year. It's always exciting to see what God is going to do in the midst of us, not just with us individually, but also as a church as well. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." He's 85 years old. Verse 11, "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain." And this is where we get the theme of "I want that mountain." "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims." And again, the Anakims were the giants. "And the land had rest from war." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord. We're looking to claim some mountains in 2025, looking to conquer and scale some things that you set before us. We've got some visions. We've got some plans. And we're going to reveal every bit of that tonight during our meeting. And we're looking forward to what you have for us. But Lord, this morning, as we're going to focus on this specific mountain that you have for us and claiming the victory that you've given and you've promised, I pray that we take some truths and apply them to our lives and understand what you'd have us to understand this morning. Help us to be a little bit more like Caleb. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Now, give you a little bit of history of what's going on in this area. Joshua chapter number 12 gives us a recollection of the land that had been conquered thus far. As they're going into the land of Canaan, they had left the wilderness, and God's people are now conquering Canaan land. This is the promised land that was given by God. Now they're going to go through, and he's giving you a little bit of a recollection of what they've already conquered. All the lands that have been conquered there in Joshua chapter number 12. In Joshua chapter 13, if you go back one chapter, it starts off at verse number 1. "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years." Don't you just hate it when somebody tells you you're old and you can't do something? Now here, Joshua is old. "And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years." Now listen, it's just not just somebody telling him he's old. This is God himself saying, "Look, dude, you're old. All right? You are old." He says, "Thou art old and stricken in years." And then notice what he says, "And there remaineth yet very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remaineth." And so God tells him, look, you may be old and you may be well stricken in years, but there is still a task that I have for you. I'm not finished with you yet, is exactly what God is telling Joshua here in Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1. There was very much land to be conquered. God still has a work for them to do. Now, remember, where our ability ends, that's where God begins to work. That's where God's abilities begin. God's work begins. Understand, God does not care about our age, He does not care about our excuses, and He does not care about our inabilities. There's still very much land that remaineth. Just like God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1. Look, you're old, but there is very much land that yet remaineth. There is much land that still needs to be conquered. And listen, our church is not old by any means. In May, we're going to be celebrating 35 years as a church. Our church is not old by any means, but there is still very much land that remaineth. There is still very much land that God wants us to conquer, and there is very much that God has for us in the road ahead and in this year ahead specifically. God is not focused on what our insecurities are or our excuses or what we think can't be done in McAllister. God is interested in allowing Himself to work through us, and we've got to be willing to allow God to work because there's very much land that remaineth. There's an abundance of work that needs to be done. Don't quit now. We're just getting started. My wife and I came across something the other day, and I actually looked it up. The second Friday in January is known as National Quitters Day. How many of you knew that? Sounds right. It's true. It's a thing. Google it. All right? And Google wouldn't lie, right? I'm just kidding. Don't take that to the bank. But it is a thing, if you'll Google it and you'll look it up, there is a thing called National Quitters Day. There was a study done in 2019, and they came to the conclusion that about 80% of people who make a New Year's resolution quit that by the second Friday in January. Now, listen, the second Friday could be anywhere from the 8th of January to the 14th. So you're barely 2 weeks in on a challenge. We quit easily, don't we? This is too hard. I can't do it. We missed one day. And oh, I'm just going to throw it all to the wind and not do anything. That's how we are. But God tells us there's very much land that remains. That was a side note, by the way. There is very much land that remains. We are not to quit right now. God's got plans for our church. God's got plans for each and every one of us. Now, listen, Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, we just read it a minute ago in verse number 6, Caleb was the one who came to Joshua and approached him about the promises that God had made to him, about the promises that the previous man of God had made to him specifically. And Caleb says, hey, listen, I might be 85 years old. And he tells him exactly how old he is. And I remember these promises were given to me 45 years ago. I've not let go of this. I've had this in my mind. I've had this in my vision. I've had a plan for this for most of my life. He says, I'm here to claim what God has promised to me. Now listen, God's made some promises to us as a church. God's given some visions to myself as a pastor and to our church collectively. And we've got desires and we've got a plan and we've got an agenda to follow. But listen, we have got to be able to go out and claim and say, hey, God's made me this promise and I'm going to go for it because I know God's true and God's not going to lie to me. Here, God had promised him some land. It was under another leader. It was under the leader of Moses. Moses was a great man of God. Joshua was becoming a great man of God. But Caleb still wanted the land that he was promised. He still wanted the land that God had given to him. That didn't wane. That didn't die down in his heart. He still had a passion. He still had a burden. He still had a fire that was burning inside of him. And we find some things out specifically. Before we get into the message, let me give you a little bit of the introduction. We find some things out specifically here in this passage about Caleb and his character. Now, Caleb, just about anybody else, after 45 years of not getting something that you were promised, most of us would have given up on it, right? Just based on statistics alone. Caleb had been promised something 45 years ago, and he's like that little kid that doesn't forget anything. Everybody know the kid I'm talking about? I'm sure every family's got one. Of, hey, you said we were going to do this. When are we going to do that? Yeah, don't make promises you don't intend on keeping. I saw some looks that were given just now. Don't worry. Everyone's got a child that's like that in the family. They always remember, they got the mind of a stinking elephant. But here, Caleb was that guy. 45 years ago, God promised him a specific place. And he come to Joshua and he said, listen, I've been serving God. I've been wholly following after God. I've been wholly committed to the Lord. And I still want that mountain that God promised me. He says, give me this mountain. Now, we find out some things about his character. I want you to note, first off, Caleb was not a man of compromise. Caleb was not a man of compromise. He never once settled. He could have had the lush valleys. He could have had another mountain. He could have had any other piece of land. It was prime for the picking, and he would have had first dibs. Remember, him and Joshua were the two spies. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. Remember, 10 were bad and 2 were good. All right? He was one of the two good spies. He was one of the ones, along with Joshua, they were the only two people that were over the age of 20, other than Moses and Aaron, that were allowed to live through the wilderness journey. They were going to go into Canaan land. Everybody else that was 20 and older could not go in. They were going to die off in the wilderness. That's why they were wandering around for 40 years. Here, Caleb could have had the pick of whatever land he wanted. He could have taken a land that was easier. He could have taken a valley that was more lush and green. He could have taken absolutely anything. But he says, no, I want that mountain. And not just any mountain. I want that mountain over there where the Anakims are. I want the mountain that's full of giants. Now, who in their right mind would want a mountain that is full of giant people? He says, no. I remember when I was 40 and we had gone into the land of Canaan, and I remember the grapes of Eshcol, and I remember how it took two guys to carry off the big giant grapes. And we've got a little display thing in our display case of two little Hebrew guys carrying a rod and a big thing of grapes right in between them. And it's a model, it's an idea. But listen, he says, I remember how big those grapes were. I remember the lush, fertile valley. I remember the mountainside. And that's what I want. I want to claim that promise that God gave to me. He wasn't a man of compromise. He could have taken anything else, but he wanted the mountain. And he wanted the mountain that still had giants on it. Also, Caleb was not a man of complacency. He was not lazy. This guy was 85 years old, and he was still climbing mountains. Now, I'm sure we've all seen in the neighborhood, there's usually that old guy that's still jogging during the springtime, and he'll get out there, and he's not moving fast at all. I saw a race between him and the turtle won, all right? He doesn't move fast at all, but he's still back there, and he's chugging along, and he's got his weight in his hand, and he's trying to do his part. That would be Caleb. He was not complacent. He was not lazy. 85 years old and he's still climbing mountains. What does that tell me? That tells me that our greatest victories lie ahead of us, not behind us. They lie ahead of us. They're in front of us. Our greatest accomplishments as a church are ahead of us. Understand, don't live in the past, because your past accomplishments, they're just stories. Yes, they mean something to you, and I understand that. But to everybody else, it's just a story. It's just a story. Now, would you rather just sit around and tell the story, or would you rather live the story? I don't know about you. I want to live the story. I want to live this story. And we've got some mountains ahead of us. And we ought not get complacent. We ought not get lazy. But let's go claim some victories, because our greatest days are ahead of us. Also, Caleb was not a man that was callous. He was not a man that was callous. He did not allow his heart to harden in the wilderness. Again, he was one of two guys that said, let's go conquer the land. God can do anything. But everybody else said, no, we can't do it. God's not big enough. And they cried and they complained and they whined about it. He could have gotten calloused and he could have gotten bitter. But he didn't allow that to happen. Instead, he allowed that flame that God put in his heart, he allowed that desire to nurture, to grow, and to emblaze his life. He was not a man that was callous. His love for God grew in the wilderness. He didn't get bitter. It wasn't his fault they were there, but he didn't let that stop him in wholly following the Lord. Listen, it may not be your fault that you're in the situation that you're in today, and it may be, well, somebody else's fault. Okay, I understand all that. Don't allow that to cause you to get bitter, but rather, let's get ready to claim a mountain for God. Caleb was not a man of compromise. He wasn't a man that was complacent. He wasn't a man that was callous. And he also was not a man who complained. He didn't complain at all during the wilderness journey. As a matter of fact, when he comes to Joshua, He didn't really reference the wilderness at all, but rather he references the plans that God has for his life. He wasn't complaining. Again, he didn't get bitter about it because he didn't deserve the punishment, but he understood it was necessary. So we'll learn what he's not, but we also learn what he is. Caleb was a man of challenge. Look at verse 12. He says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. He said, not only were they great, they were greatly defended. And he said he still wanted that mountain. There were giants there. The cities were large and full of people, and they had a great embankment around them. They were fenced in. He said, I want that one. I want a challenge. I want to fight. That's what he says. He was a man of challenge. He was 85 and he was still interested in taking the hardest mountain. He wasn't going to die set aside, relishing and resting in his laurels. No, no. He was going to die claiming some victory. He was going to die setting the example for his children and his children's children and his children's children's children. He was going to do everything he could to be the man and the leader of his home that he could be. He was a man of challenge. Also, he was a man of conviction. Notice verse 11. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I was 40 years old when I went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And he said, now I'm 85. Now I'm 85 years old. And guess what? I'm just as strong now as I ever have been. I love it. He ain't got no quit. He ain't got no fight. No, he's not going to stop fighting. He doesn't back down from the challenge. He's a man of conviction. And he was willing to fight and die for what he believed in. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of man that I can follow. The man that was willing to take on a challenge. A man that was going to follow through with his conviction. That's the kind of man that I want to follow right there. A man that said, it doesn't matter what my age is. It doesn't matter what I've gone through in life. And it doesn't matter how old people think I am or how insecure they think that I am or how much of an inability they think that I might have. I know that I serve a God that can do anything with anybody who is willing. He says, I'm going to wholly follow after God. Caleb was a man of challenge. He was a man of conviction, but also he was a man who claimed the promises of God. Look at me in verse 9. He said, Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse number 12. He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And then we already read about the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Notice, he wasn't relying on his strength, although he said he had strength. He was not relying on his ability, although he said that he had the ability to take it, both to go in and to go out. He said, I'm just as strong even for war today as I was then. But he was not relying on his own ability. He said, if the Lord be. What did he say? If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. He said, if God goes with me, I know I can conquer the land. If God goes before me, I know that I can claim the victories. What was he doing? He was claiming the promises of God. God promised me this, and I'm going to claim that because I know that God's with me, and I know that God is there. Now listen, God has promised great things for those that follow after him. We talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. Let me ask you, what kind of righteousness are we hungering and thirsting after this year? In 2025, we got a challenge for our people to be able to read through the Word of God. And I want you to take that challenge. I want you to take it seriously. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tonight. But there's a lot of other goals that we're going to have set. And we're going to talk about that during our business meeting tonight. And we got a vision, we got a plan of what God's gonna do, and we're gonna upgrade, and we're gonna update, and we're gonna beautify the house of God, and we're gonna start up some more soul winning, and we're gonna go out, we're gonna try to reach our community for the cause of Christ. We're gonna do everything that we can to be the example and the lighthouse here in our community. But, we're not gonna do it in our own strength. We're gonna do it in the power of God. Caleb said he was able. Caleb said he could have done it. But he didn't want to do it by himself. And let me give you this truth. If we're going to do anything for God, it's not going to be because we chose to do it on our own. It's going to be because God is with us. God's made us a promise. Now all we've got to do is take that promise and claim it and begin to live according to the promise that God's given us. Now, how can we be like Caleb this morning? How can we possess the land? Or how can we climb the mountain that God has in front of us? There's three things I want you to understand this morning. If we're going to claim the mountain, and again, the title is, I Want That Mountain. There's some mountains that I want for our church this year. There's some accomplishments that I want to see God do this year. And listen, God's already started this year off with a bang, in case you didn't know. Brother Keith got saved Friday night. We've already had our first salvation of the year. We're going to have our first baptism here in just a little while. He's going to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Listen, we're going to start the year off right. We're going to start the year off with a bang. But guess what? We're not going to stop right now. We're not going to quit right now, because God's got a plan for our church, and God's got a task for our church to do. And God's got some mountains for us to climb. And we got some goals that we're going to set this year. And it's going to take some work to be able to accomplish these goals. It's going to be like climbing a mountain. It's going to take a little bit of effort on our part. It's going to take some sacrifice, just like somebody who's climbing a mountain. They're going to give some effort. They're going to have some sacrifice. They're going to give some dedication to climbing that mountain. And God's got some mountains for us. How can we climb those this year? Well, first, in order for us to claim the mountain that God's given us, number one, we've got to have faith in the covenant of God. We've got to have faith in the covenant of God. Look at verse 9. Here again, Caleb has come to Joshua, and Caleb is reminding Joshua of what he's done. But notice verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Here he says, I'm going to claim and I'm going to have faith in the covenant of God. A covenant is a promise that is made between two people. He said, God made me a promise, and I'm going to have faith that God's going to keep the promise that he made me. Now understand, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse number 11, that his word will not return unto him void. That means empty. That means if God said it, you can take it to the bank and cash it. It's guaranteed. It's going to happen. God's word is that way. Let God be true and every man a liar, your Bible says. But his word will not return void. That means if God said it, if God promised it, then we can do it. We can have victory over sin this year if we claim the promises of God. You say, how can I have victory? The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I can have victory in my life if I would just claim the promises of God. I can be able to live for God and do what God has for me if I'll have faith in the covenant of God. Now, not only did Caleb have faith in the covenant of God, there were three separate occasions here in this passage, Numbers chapter 14, where God says that Caleb wholly followed after the Lord. Now, that's a phenomenal testimony. Everything inside of Caleb was bent on serving God. Where he could have gotten bitter, he chose not to. He chose to trust God. Where he could have gotten angry at his fellow Jews and their lack of trust for God, he said, no, I'm going to strengthen my faith in God, and I'm going to hold true to the promises that God has given me. He says, I'm going to have faith, firstly, in the covenant of God. Secondly, not only did he have faith in the covenant of God, he had fervor for the cause of God. He had fervor for the cause of God. Look at verse 12. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He says, I've got a fervor, I've got a desire now more than ever before to fulfill God's will for my life. I've got a desire, I've got a passion, I've got a fire deep inside of me to want to do something for God. Have a fervor for the cause of God. He said, I know what God promised me. And I know what the man of God had told me that I could do. And I know what God wants to do with my life. He says, I'm ready to claim that now. He's going to have faith in the covenant of God, but also he's going to have fervor for the cause of God. We're not going to go there. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 29, you remember the story of David and Goliath? One of the most common stories in the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 17, verse number 29... Well, you'll find, leading up to that passage, David does exactly what his father Jesse tells him to do. He says, take the bread and take the cheeses and go and take these to your brothers. They're in the battle. Now, they have been at the battle, but they weren't in the battle. if you know what I mean. The children of Israel were on one side of the embankment, and the people of the Philistines were on the other side of the embankment. And Goliath of Gath, the great Philistine, their warrior, came out into the middle, into the valley, and he would begin to cry out and profane the name of God, and he would begin to disregard the children of Israel for 40 days. Go back and read the passage, you'll find it. For 40 days, every single day, morning, noon, and night, Goliath would go out and he would proclaim how insecure and how inadequate their God was. And he would belittle the children of Israel. And he would ridicule them in their service for God. Every one of those soldiers were treading in fear on their side of the mountain. Here, you got this big giant out in the middle of the land telling me that I don't believe in my God. Telling me that my God's not worthy. Telling me that He's going to kill every one of us and conquer us because our God is worthless. That's exactly what Goliath was doing. David goes down to the battle obeying his father and giving his brothers the bread and the cheeses. By the way, they didn't need any more cheese. They were in their own cheese. They weren't doing anything. They didn't earn a meal. They weren't doing anything. They were at the battle, but they were not in the battle. Now, the dad thought they were in the battle. They thought they were heavy in the heat of it all. David shows up. He hears Goliath one time come out and blaspheme the name of God. And David, as a young man, something stirred inside of his heart. He said, who is that guy? Who is that Philistine out there mocking my God? What's going to be done to the man that takes his head off? Who is he? David's older brother, Eliab, shows up. And he begins to ridicule David. He says, I know the naughtiness of thine heart. I know why you're here. Who have you left your few sheep with? Why have you come to see the battle? Last I checked, there wasn't a battle going on. Eliab wanted to make himself look good. There wasn't a battle. Y'all were hiding like a bunch of little girls behind an embankment while this man's out here proclaiming how good he is and how bad you are. It's not much of a battle. And David begins to get ridiculed because he's infuriated at Goliath. These warriors, these military men, they weren't infuriated at all. They weren't bothered at all. And David looks at him and says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And then the Bible says that he looks at another man and he says the same thing. So he says it over and over again. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Like, aren't y'all here to fight this guy? Or are you just out here playing patty cake? What's going on? Is there not a cause? Do we not have the right and the opportunity to defend the name of our God? He was saying, is there not a cause? Now listen, if we're going to claim the mountain that God's given us, we got to have faith in the covenant of God. But we've got to have some fervor. You've got to have some fire about the cause that God's given us. God's given us a cause here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. God's given us a purpose here. And we want to do everything that we can, yes, to raise the next generation through our academy at Cornerstone Baptist Academy and rear some children for the cause of Christ. And we want to enable some families to be able to have that opportunity to do that. But God's given us a cause to reach our community with the gospel. And we ought to do everything that we can to fulfill that cause. And you know what? There ought to be a fire that burns inside of you. There ought to be a passion that burns inside of you that says, hey, come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Listen, there may be people in our community and in our society that may slam their door in your face when you go and knock on their door and invite them to church. There may be coworkers that want absolutely nothing to do with you and your church or even your God. But you've got to have a fire and you've got to have a passion for God. If we're going to claim some mountains, there's got to be some grit inside some of us. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be a fervor that's going to outlast everything else. Because listen, everything's not going to go according to plan. Anybody that's ever done anything at any time knows it doesn't always go according to plan. Whenever we go on a vacation or we go out of town, my wife and I, we like to have a schedule. We're very scheduled people. We like to have a plan on what we're going to follow. There are times where that plan needs to be adjusted because it doesn't always work out, right? Excuse me. Brother Brandon, you're a contractor. You know, you were in the military and everything. You were a contractor. There were times when you were building something, you had a plan. And you had a ETA. You had a time where you were going to finish it all. But there were some times where a monkey showed up with a wrench and that plan had to adjust. There were some times where some changes had to be made. In the Christian life, we've got to have a desire and the faith and the covenant that God's given us, but we've got to have a fervor as well. And we've got to be able to go out and have that fire and that passion. But understand, things aren't always going to go according to plan. And that excitement that you have to serve God, and that excitement that you have to fulfill the promises and the desires that you have to live for God, there's going to have to be something more than just excitement in you. You're going to have a burning fire inside of you, because sometimes that excitement is going to wane. We tell the young people all the time when we go to church camp, we go to youth conference, say, listen, you're going to go home and you're not going to feel the way you feel right now. But decisions aren't made based on emotions and feelings. They're commitments that are made. And when you don't feel like doing right, you do right because it's the right thing to do. There ought to be a passion inside of us. There ought to be a fire inside of us. Here, Caleb, he wanted to claim the mountain. He had a fervor for the cause of God. He said, I'm going to remember that passion. I'm going to remember that stirring in my heart. When I went back in Numbers, chapter number 13 and 14, and I espied the land, and I remember what it looked like, and I saw the giant grapes, and I saw what God did in my heart, and I remember that desire. I'm not going to forget that. Listen, I remember when God called me to preach. I remember that fire that God put in my heart. I remember that passion and that desire that God gave me. And as I go throughout my life and live for God, I'm going to do everything that I can to not forget that fire, to not forget that burning kindling that takes place inside the heart. Yeah, there's going to be some time where somebody's going to put a wet blanket on your fire. Yeah, there's going to be some times where you're going to go out in this world and your fire is going to get a little bit smoked out. And it's going to feel like you may not have the passion anymore. But those embers, they ought to burn inside. Those embers, they need to be stirred up every now and again. Why do you think we have revivals? Those embers need to be moved. And we need to remember the cause that God's given us. We have a fire about that, a fervor for the cause of God. If we're going to climb the mountains in 2025, we need to have faith in the covenant of God. We need to have a fervor for the cause of God. But thirdly, and lastly here, we need to follow closely to God. We need to follow closely to God. Listen, you can have all the plans on what you want to accomplish for the cause of Christ, but if you're doing it in your own power and you're doing it in your own strength, it will not be done. You've got to follow closely to God. If you're going to accomplish anything for God in this Christian life, it's going to have to be done with God as well as for God. You're not doing it on your own. Here, he was going to follow closely to God. Look at verse number 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Notice at the end of verse number 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse number 14. At the end of the verse, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Three different occasions it says of Caleb that he wholly committed himself to following after God. He said, I'm not going to have any reservations about serving God. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. We've got to follow closely to God if we're going to do anything for God. Go with me back to Numbers chapter 14. We're going to spend a little bit more time in this tonight. But look at Numbers 14. I'll share a couple verses with you real quick. Here is the story of Joshua and Caleb when they were younger. 45 years prior, they were striping young lads at the age of 40. Amen, Brother Roberto. 38 now, right? 39. Oh, he's inching closer. See, when he turns 50, his wife's going to get him that birthday card that has the guy in the front climbing the mountain and the wife behind pushing him saying, no, you first. Numbers 14, look at verse number 6. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Listen, I was an ignorant teenager at one time. And in the Christian school that I had gone to, I didn't pay much attention. And I listened and I heard him say, Joshua was the son of Nun. N-U-N. And for the longest time, I believe that he didn't have a father. I missed the question on the test when it said, what was Joshua's dad's name? And I put N-O-N-E, none. I was an ignorant teenager. Anyway, back to the verse. Let's get spiritual again. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. They're trying to remind the people of God. Look at verse number 8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. These are giants that had large cities and fences around those cities. Ha! They're bread for us. I love the confidence. It's great. Their defenses is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now that was a man who understood that God was the one going to fight the battle for them. Listen, these are the same Jews that just came out of Israel. Okay? These are the same Jews that had watched the 10 plagues come from God to destroy the land of Egypt. These are the same Israelites that God had led with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. These are the same Jews that God had parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross, millions of them, on dry ground. And then he had collapsed the Red Sea on Pharaoh and his armies. They had watched God destroy their enemies time and again. The same Jews. And Caleb's trying to remind them of that. That this is nothing to God. All we've got to do is trust that God is with us. All we've got to do is follow God. He's fought our battles for us before. All we've got to do is trust that He's going to do it again. And I want to encourage you this morning, God's fought your battles before. All you got to do is follow Him. And He'll continue fighting your battles for you. The Lord is with us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:5, God's made us the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Understand this. Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, He made this statement, one of his seven sayings. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Understand that God the Father turned His back on the sinless Son of God. And He forsook His only begotten Son so He could make us the promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us. Now understand that. If we could catch hold of that truth, God will revolutionize your life. That God turned His back on His only Son so that He would never have to turn His back on you. If that doesn't do something for you, I don't know what will. If that doesn't bless your heart right now, I don't know what will change our hearts. The fact that God turned His back on His only Son, who was perfect and sinless and didn't deserve it on the cross. But He turned His back on Him so He wouldn't have to for us. Because when you're a child by adoption, there ain't no getting rid of you. And God has adopted us into His family. God is with us. God's made us the promise that He's going to be with us. All we have to do is trust and follow closely. We can claim the mountains that God has for us if we're following God. We can't conquer the mountains on our own. It's not possible. There are things you can do by yourself, yes, but there's no self-made Christians in Christianity. And you can't conquer the mountains that God has for us by yourself. We need God this morning. Understand this morning, if we're going to possess the land, if we're going to claim the mountain that God has for us, we're going to have faith in the covenant of God. We're going to have some fervor, some fire for the cause of God, and we're going to have to follow closely to our God. You see, there's very much land that remaineth. And we as a church need to be willing and ready to go out and possess the land that God has for us. As I stated a moment ago, tonight we're going to have our business meeting. I'm going to give you some goals. We're going to pass out a church schedule, front and back page. You're going to see a lot of different things we got on that schedule. I'm going to give you some goals for the church. Some things we're going to look to accomplish this year. Some visions, some plans that God's given us. But we can't conquer those things if God's not going to be with us. And we can't conquer those things if we have a bunch of fighting in the midst of us. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then don't do it, but just don't complain about it. Because we're going to do it. Bless God. We've got some mountains to conquer. And instead of falling short on National Quitter's Day, let's not quit. But rather, let's dig our heels in and say, hey, God, you said we could do this. You promised that you would be with us. You said of your church that I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Jesus, you said you would build it if we would do what you told us to do. And we're going to do what you said. And we're going to expect God to build the church. But we're going to be busy doing it for God and with God. Stand with me with head bowed and eyes closed. Are you ready to conquer some mountains this year? Are you ready to claim some victories this year in your life? We talked about it the other night, and I sure hope you did. I hope you set some goals for this year. Set some goals for reading through my Bible again this year. My wife and I, we've made it a purpose these last 2 years. We've read through our Bibles faithfully. We're going to do it again this year. I want to encourage everybody else to jump on board with us. Set some goals of winning some people to Christ this year. Set some goals of being the right kind of husband, the right kind of father this year. I've set some goals of setting aside some specific times for prayer this year. I've set some goals. Selfishly, I've set a weight loss goal. We're working on that one. That one might get quit on. No, I'm just kidding. But if you set some goals this year, claim the promises of God and follow through in the power of God. Let's pray, Father. We love you. We thank you for the day.